In the colonial days, there was a common practice in the Anglican churches to have printed up in large words the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the Ten Commandments. Now, this panel on the walls even had a name for it. It's called a reredos. Included, of course, in the Apostles' Creed is the all-important line about Jesus rising from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the cornerstone of historic Christianity. Is it possible, and I'm one who believes it is, that there is scientific evidence for the resurrection of Jesus? I refer to the Shroud of Turin, a 14-by-3-foot linen cloth that is believed by many to have been the actual burial cloth of Jesus of Nazareth. There's an intriguing new documentary by Robert Orlando, who is an award-winning writer, filmmaker, and director, and it's called The Shroud, Face to Face. He also wrote a companion book on the Shroud with the exact same title. In his website, which is theshroudfilm.com, Orlando writes, quote, "An incredibly detailed image of the man on the Shroud shocks the world and befuddles believer and skeptic alike. How to explain such a phenomenon?" Again, ask Robert Orlando. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Robert Orlando to the program. Actually, we've had you on before, but thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Sure. Okay, so let's get right to the quick. In your film, you were able to interview some really great scholars on the subject of the Shroud and why they think it's authentic. Included in those scholars was Gary Habermas. There was also Dr. Craig Evans. There were some that I wasn't familiar with, but there was a Catholic priest named Father Spitzer who made a fascinating point. He said that the burst of radiation, light energy, at the moment of the resurrection caused this incredible image, and yet it was literally 40 billionth of a second. In other words, and that created the image like big light bulb or whatever. And this is amazing. So let's go ahead and have you wax eloquent about the evidence that you found in studying this relic.
Where to begin? I have to start by saying I did the project on purpose because of the overwhelming amount of research that's been done on the Shroud. It's the most studied artifact in history. So I had to take an angle like you do in a book or anything to see if I could kind of find a distinctive way to reapproach the same subject matter. For me, it would be doing a first-person story in a detective style, as if it was CSI meets the Shroud. I just wanted to set it up that way because my approach was, I actually had no interest in the Shroud whatsoever. Two people in broadcasting had asked me, would you consider doing something on the Shroud? And I said no twice. And then I had some personal things that happened in my life, which are in the book, and it went on from there. But my first leap in when I finally said, let me just take a look at this, was I found that the skeptics were so incoherent, it made me suspicious because being someone who studies in philosophy and the Bible, theology, you know, you get used to knowing different points of view. And even if you don't agree with them, you go with what you believe the most evidence leans on or weighs against or for. And in this case, it seemed so wildly incoherent that I was suspicious that it was more of propaganda or someone trying to repress the evidence more than it was someone having a different point of view or a skeptical point of view. So the two things I would say is there's a preponderance of evidence, but when I do events sometimes, this might be the easiest way to do it, I will just say this. The Shroud bears the faint ghostly image of a man, front and back, with markings consistent with the crucifixion. The image of the Shroud possesses three-dimensional properties, suggesting that whatever was created had a profound and unexplained bodily interaction with the fabric. These are not, by the way, let me interrupt myself. These are not in doubt. This is even the scientists and the skeptics agree with this. The Shroud's history can be traced back to the 14th century when it appeared in France. However, its origins before that time are uncertain and subject to debate, although key locations are documented. In 1988, carbon dating tests on the Shroud suggested it originated in the medieval period, contradicting the claims of the biblical age. However, subsequent research has raised doubts about the accuracy of these tests due to possible contamination and other factors. The Shroud contains unique characteristics not found in other known artifacts, These include a faint image, the three-dimensional qualities, and the apparent wounds that are consistent only with Jesus' crucifixion. Traces of pollen found on the shroud suggest it may have originated from the region of Jerusalem, supporting the theory of biblical origins. Detailed analysis of the shroud reveals bloodstains and wound patterns consistent with accounts of Jesus' crucifixion. Over the years, numerous scientific studies have been conducted on the shroud, including DNA analysis, forensic examinations, spectroscopy. While some findings support authenticity, others still need to be more conclusive. And the last two, for many Christians, the shroud holds immense religious significance, as it is believed to be the burial cloth of Christ. And despite many centuries of scrutiny and scientific analysis, the Shroud of Turin remains an enigmatic, divisive artifact, with its authenticity continuing to be a subject of debate among scholars, scientists, and believers alike.
Well,
that
one,
was my conclusion.
Yeah.
What could not be doubted?
That's fascinating. One of the things that I've found very fascinating about this is that historically a very strong case can be made that what we think Jesus Christ looked like is based on the Shroud of Turin. And part of the reason I even say that is the historic understanding of those who believe the Shroud is authentic basically say it goes like this. Okay, Jesus rises from the dead, April 533 A.D. All right, boom, at the moment of resurrection, there's some sort of image left on that cloth. I mean, even when Peter and John went in the tomb, they looked at the cloth, plus the other strips of linen that were, around it as well. They believed. And so anyway, the theory is that the cloth was taken, the burial cloth, was the shroud, was taken to a place in what is modern-day Turkey, and it was hidden away there after being, known for a couple times, even associated with the healing of the king, King Akbar. And anyway, bottom line is it was hidden away for about almost 500 years. During that 500 year of silence, if you will, there were pictures of Jesus that appeared from here, from time to time, and you can see them. I've seen at least a couple of them at the British Museum. They don't look anything like Jesus. Once this cloth was rediscovered in 525 AD after a flood in that particular town, it had been buried, sealed away. Once that came, that all of a sudden all the icons and pictures and even coins with the face of Jesus were all based on that image and not the other way around. In other words, somebody didn't just make up the shroud based on, oh, this is what Jesus looked like. I mean, to me, that's a very fascinating point about the whole subject.
There were a series of tracts that could be historical, evidentiary ways of going at the shroud. One is the artistic track, which I didn't hit very heavy. I do touch upon it in the film, because it was just so many ways to go, and I had to stick with the three that I thought were the strongest. But there's no doubt, and I'm actually an art minor. I've actually painted myself, and I'm sensitive and aware of what the differences may be. But yes, I think you can make the case that when the shroud reappears publicly, that the artwork reflects a pivot toward a more accurate reflection of him. And also, sometimes they, in trying to paint him, they're not quite sure of what to make of the shroud, so they distort the size of the eyes and do things that, because they're not looking at it as a forensic would. They're looking at it more as a pure image. So yes, the art was another big factor in doing that. Let's go back a little bit, because you said something profound there that I think people skip over. The shroud is the symbol in this world. They say the empty tomb, but in the empty tomb is the shroud. It's the symbol that Jesus is no longer here. So if you think about stealing the body or all the other alternative possibilities, I'm saying in plain logic, shroud here, Jesus gone. So it's actually the symbol of the resurrection itself, because it's how they physically know he's gone from the earth.
Well, you said there were three elements or three strongest points. And we only have 4 minutes left in this discussion. Why don't you go ahead and highlight those? I'll just sit back and listen.
Well, I have the best way to do it is I could give you Sturp's conclusion itself. So if you think about using the skeptics themselves.
Wait. You got to define what Sturp is, but go ahead.
CERT is, let me say, Shroud of Turin Research Project. It was the ones who, you know, dismissed it as being a medieval relic, or that.
Okay, wait. Let me interject, if you don't mind. 1978, about 40 yeah. scientists went up. They were the Shroud of Turin Research Project. Some of them were believing, most of them, many of them believed it was going to be disproven within minutes. They were shocked, and they came away with the conclusion, well, whatever this is, it's not made by an artist. They did recommend carbon dating, but the procedures that they recommended were not followed. And so the carbon dating, you know, was probably a piece from the rewoven aspect. So the cloth went through all kinds of things, including some fires and so forth. Okay, go ahead and wax out from there.
If I got 2 minutes, I'm gonna try and hammer this out. So their conclusion was, we can conclude for now that the shroud image is that of a real human form of a scourged, crucified man. It is not the product of an artist. The blood stains are composed of hemoglobin, also give a positive test for serum albumin. The image is an ongoing mystery, and until further chemical studies are made, perhaps by this group of scientists or perhaps by some scientists in the future, the problem remains unsolved. It's a mystery. So the very skeptics who would be driving this train of saying it's not what Christians are claiming it is, actually leave it in the realm of mystery. That's point one. Point two would be, if you read the latest article by Casabianca, I don't know if you're familiar with it, I found it online, called Radiocarbon Dating of the Turin Shroud. I found it on a website called Archaeometry. And four scholars, Marinelli, Pernigallo, and Teresi, all show why there's now weakness and why the carbon dating as a testing tool needs to be updated. And the final thing I'll say is that the unique evidence itself historically matches up with the testimony of Scripture. And in the end, I think, as you see in the book and the film, what I wound up doing is seeing that all the evidence pointed back to the mystery of what happened in that tomb, and it became a question of faith in the end. Making sense of the man Jesus is really the question behind the shroud, more than the shroud itself, because it's a signifier of the same event that preachers and the Bible and everything else is testifying about. So at the end of a scientific search is a point toward mystery in the face of Jesus, which is why the title is The Shroud, Face to Face.
And are you convinced that it's the real thing? It's the burial cloth of Jesus, and he rose from the dead and left this imprint?
So I, for the sake of the project, frankly, I try and separate the scientific search from my faith journey, but I would say they intersect for me. I would say on the scientific side, I believe there's more plausibility, more likability, more provability on the side of the believer than there is on the skeptic, for sure. I would argue on my faith side that all the mysteries that pointed back to the unique occasion in history leave the door open that we might be looking at something supernatural, and that one, if one was to believe in that, there would be no, they would not have to like compromise their intellectual or investigative capacities. They would not be compromised at all in doing it.
All right, we have about 30 seconds left, so let's see. Your website is, again, theshroudfilm.com, and that's how people can get information on the book as well. Is it significant of the fact that this is a photographic negative and that this was discovered before photography, hundreds of years before?
It is, again, like that I thought was it was an accidental photograph. It was just brought as the shroud. What people don't realize is we study it as a scientific artifact, but it was actually used as a symbol of worship. It went into processions and was seen as an exhibit. And a photographer was just shooting the exhibit, and he shot it. And
that's when he discovered it. We're so out of time. I'm sorry, but theshroudfilm.com, people can get more information. Rob, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.